6:30 regular meeting. We'll start tonight with me leading the Pledge of Allegiance, and then Russell will lead us with the opening prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our kind and gracious Father, which art in heaven, we humbly bow our heads before thee this evening, seeking, Father in heaven, thy spirit to fill this room, to guide and direct us in the decisions we'll make this night. We're grateful, Father in heaven, for the opportunity we have to meet as a council of the Mount Pleasant City. We ask thee to bless each one of us, that we will have within us thy direction, that our decisions will be sound and that which is best for the city of Mount Pleasant. We're grateful, Father in heaven, for the opportunity we have to live in America, and we ask a blessing upon all the leaders of the world, as the turmoil seems to be building everywhere, that thy spirit will reach out and touch them. This nation will once again be a beacon upon the hill. We're grateful, Father in heaven, to live in this beautiful valley and for the rain that we have received, and we ask you to continue to bless us with that which we need to keep the needs that we have. Father in heaven, we love thee. Our dear brother and Savior Jesus Christ, we love thee. And Father in heaven, we seek and thank thee for these blessings. In his name, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Russ.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll start with the roll call.
Justin.
Here.
Kevin.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Paul.
Here.
Robbie.
Here. Okay, next is approval of the claim register dated 8/7/2021 to 8/23/2021 in the amount of $164,222.24.09.
I have one question on this. We paid Moroni City $1,028 for youth baseball?
Yes.
Did they use our program to sign their tip up?
So we don't buy the shirts, they do. And after all the officials are paid and stuff, then we reimburse them. And they use our program to sign up, which we charge them like $400 or $500 a year to use that program. So everybody's signing up on one spot.
So that's the same thing with Fairview then?
Yes. Here. Yep, Fairview's on there. I think there's a Spring City one too. Yes. That's what that is.
Do they use their facilities?
They use ours.
Fairview don't even have one, do they?
Mm-hmm.
No. Kind of, they got the old one up on the hill.
Yeah, and then Fairview's got the old one going to the cemetery.
I know we've talked about this before, about maybe get together with their recreation leaders.
Stephanie's going to try and do that in October.
Responsibility.
And then providing some manpower to help us and stuff.
It costs us money to take care of the fields and everything, and they use them.
Yep.
That's what I was concerned about, this
reimbursement.
Yeah. Now that it's been explained,
I've seen both of them have marked in yellow.
It's NFP on page 5. Professional services. Is there more on it? It's compensation and benefits.
Package.
Isn't that the disposal?
Yeah.
we really didn't get time to go all the way through it either, so.
So what, was this to do a comparison or something, is that what?
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that we're still, we're in the boat compared to the road to our side. Conversation, and we just, and, right now, the industry, large changes happening, and, supported up to you guys, you guys, and all the issues that we do have. So I want to make sure that we're staying close to where we could be competitive, yeah, like, with our side. So a little disappointed to be a trip, we need to, you know, from that, that's a history, in the study part, I'm glad it was history, I was a little upset at that.
I know Fairview did one, oh, several years ago. So does that look at, the system, average system, and then determine how many people you should have to run that system?
Yeah, that, and also depending on how many meters you have, the linear system, and, so we, yeah, they take those comparisons and make comparisons, like we're like with, both wise went off with fire, but size wise we are, meter wise and stuff, Paralon, and the other cities like that, we're pretty competitive.
So it's not quite done yet?
It's not quite done, we're kind of work on a plan, but, I can say the output is over.
Do they just only do power?
No, they can do it, okay. We get the office administration and the power department. So, yeah, they can take the whole city or whatever.
I'm just saying, it might have been nice to include public works. Just so you can.
But after time, we get ready to do it. Coach is gonna have the, in the budget to take over.
They'll just maybe talk more forward than I.
We started on it, yeah, well, February, March,
right.
It's always kind of nice to know, you know, where you stand and.
Yes.
What would be expected as far as amount of power and weight.
Yes, and I, my biggest thing is I don't want to be in the same boat that we were in 2006. Where, oh no, we're losing guys, what do we do? And then we do like a $5 raise across the board. And that killed our budget, that killed the, you know, who are our targets, you know, the city here, Corporal Lowe, and crazy like that. And so I just want to make sure we're doing the same on our wages, compensation, that we are on our rates, and everything else, so we're staying. So you don't have to see that being converted all of a sudden, you know.
I think it's a good study, buddy. Yeah, I mean, we don't want to train you guys and then lose you.
No, well, yeah, because I figure you're by the time you get a guy fully trained, you're into this guy, paying more than $350,000, or paying more than $350,000 to $400,000, by the time you get into your school, and working underneath your department.
Do you have any more questions?
No.
I'll make a motion. We approve the invoice register from 8-7-2021 to 8-23-2021 in the amount of. $164,224.09.
I second that motion.
Yeah, the motion by Russell and seconded by Ronnie to accept the claim register dated 8-7-2021 to 8-23-2021 in the dollar amount of $164,224.09. Roll call.
Justin.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Ronnie.
Then we have one requisition, annex to Annixter, requisition number 82420211114, dollar amount of $5,960 for some transformers.
This is the last order we'll probably place on single-phase transformer this year, or out, so next year. Hopefully we're stopped up enough to hold up.
I'll make a motion to approve requisition 82420211114.
I think that was all the ones.
For $5,960 for some stock transformers.
Second. We have a motion by Justin, second by Kevin, to approve requisition number 82420211114 to Annixter for transformers in the dollar amount of $5,960. Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Shane.
No, I'd be willing to talk to Michael. I think he feels a deal on how it works. I guess it depends on what the cost is, but that seems, I guess, pretty reasonable. I don't know what to do about the same, but I think it would give us a baseline of what
I think it'd probably be a little cheaper than ours, because I included
the administration part of it.
The administration.
I don't know. That's just what I'm thinking. I'm only one voice on the council, but I think it would be.
I think we got to get a price on it.
But yeah, at least get a price. At least if you do have it, you'll have something to kind of go off of. Baseline.
Yeah, I'm curious to know how many. A couple of things. One, the size of how much of city had cars, what's the demand for work, not hours, and then the wages, kind of the wage schedule.
I'll hop in and see what you can do.
Okay, sounds good. Next, let's see, that's all the requisitions, right?
Yep.
Okay, next, Brittany.
There are multiple schools around the state, but they group them together, and in our tier, there are 12. We are in first place out of all 12 pools, which is great. We did really, really well. The person who does it is Mike Stack. He actually helped put together the Red Cross videos for their trainings, and he said our video was so good that they can actually use it as a training video. So we only missed two points out of 60. It was in regards to a maintenance log, which we had fixed. We're waiting for them to approve the changes so that way you guys can take a look at it and that sort of thing. And then we're going to make sure that it works with Public Works and the Power Department's submission process, because they didn't necessarily love what we had just because there wasn't as in detail of a paper trail, if that makes any sense. But we placed first out of 12.
Cool.
So we're going to work hard on keeping that up. And you have both records if you want them. Sorry, allergies. At any point, I can just send this to you. We're going to have a total of 3 visits from them every year. One in the summer, one in the spring, and one in the fall. And they will follow the Model Aquatic Health Code, inspection sheet, that's what this is. We are pretty well good to go on most things. And help him, we need to double check. But we should be good there. If you want to take a look, please, I can also be back here. So, that's the good news. The bad news is we don't have very much staff, which means we're not going to have very many open hours because we don't have staff. So I'm just letting you guys know.
Is it because they went back to school, or what's the circumstance? Why is that?
Yeah, a lot of it's school. Some of it's they're not getting, they work in the library. They keep an hour or maybe they put laborers for $10 an hour. We lost quite a few because of that. There is the whole availability thing where they're now in school, they have programs and all sorts of other things, so that it's limiting that, their hours. But like, for example, on Friday, last Friday, we couldn't go until 6:30 in the evening because I didn't have anyone to work with. They couldn't do it. So we have put that out on Facebook, on Instagram, it's all on our city website. I've taken flyers down to some college, posted those everywhere. We are trying to help people.
Most of the lifeguards.
Yeah, because they have to be certified. I did 3 classes last spring, March, April, and May. We have very limited interest in those, and those are 2 of us certified in the county that can be Red Cross certifications. So we also do all of Manhattan's and Snow Colleges and all of those. So we didn't get any of those guys either. And I tried to do 2 Red Cross classes during the summer, and we just didn't have any interest to follow it through. So we're trying desperately. We just can't find anybody.
Do you know Snow College is paying?
More than us. I believe they start out about 9-ish, 9:50.
What'd you say we're paying?
8:15 is the starting pay.
Oh, I thought you said 15.
Oh, no. I wish.
And I'm like, because it didn't make sense that they would go to half an hour for 10. I mean,
no.
I thought maybe lifeguard was bad duty or something.
No, it'd be great if we could start out at 15. There's places up north that are starting out at 15. I'm going to a conference, the Utah Forest Recreation Conference, on Monday for a couple days, Monday to Thursday. And they're sending out surveys and we're filling it out. So we should find out more then to see what the average is. But I do know it's changing a lot because everywhere else is raising their pay. They want the money.
It's all about the buck.
Yeah.
It's pretty competitive. Yeah, that's why you can't get adults to up there. You know, she has to work with high school kids or college kids.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get there. We don't pay enough to get any adults up there, and I understand that. I mean, they're sitting there for $8 an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the thing is if you're losing money because you can't open, it almost seems like there should be a balance that we can find there with what wage plus. You know, if we're losing business because we can't pull, but obviously there's going to be some revenue that comes in if we are open. Or maybe we just lose more. I don't know how the...
And Dave and I have talked about it.
Depends if you're open when people are coming.
Yeah.
Because generally we try and be open. Yeah, we try and be open one day a week till about 1 o'clock in the afternoon for the homeschool groups to come in. We don't have anyone that can work it. I even have 2 kids that are doing college classes right now, and they can't because the way that it works.
I guess the thing that worries me is if we get to the point where we have limited hours, are we going to have people that stop buying the season passes and things like that?
Yeah, and yes. Simple answer, yeah. That's a major concern. We're trying.
Yeah.
Some kids leave and they realize that lifeguarding is not actually a really bad job. They can do even homework on their breaks. It's really easy, so then sometimes they do want to come back. But some kids just aren't supposed to be lifeguards, so then they leave and they don't come back. So.
It's probably something we need to discuss amongst us as a council. I mean,
I think it'd be interesting to see what the results come back after you come back from next week, kind of, too.
And they're, like I said, we're filling out surveys and all sorts of things on it, so I'll make sure to get a copy of that data. So that way we know. So then we are currently working with the school district to come to an agreement on the swimming thing. We're still working on that. And then we're also waiting for the last quote for the cameras so we can get the cameras set up. So as soon as we get that last quote.
So have you shut the splash pad down yet?
Not yet. Labor Day, right?
Yeah, Labor Day's last day.
No. So, we did have a really good summer. We have 4 sessions, or 4 2-week sessions of swimming lessons, and we have 3 times in each session, and there was only 1 time slot that was not booked out completely. We were booked solid the whole time. We're very busy the entire summer. So we had a really, really good summer. We really did, so.
because we're talking about money. We didn't make some money this year, so.
But you probably have less use of it, right? I mean, obviously, you have more use in the summer than you do now.
Yeah. It generally goes spring and summer are our busiest seasons, and fall and winter are our slowest seasons. Kind of just how it works.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. But we will have the swim team this year. Whatever's decided that way, we will at least have something there as well.
You still have the older adults show up early in the morning?
Yeah, our water aerobics program has taken off. We had 21 people there this morning for just one class, and we have two classes.
Wow.
So we're doing really, really good there. We might even have to make more space for the water aerobics program. So that's really good.
I had someone ask me about laps, just swimming laps in the morning. Is that something that you can still do?
So from 5:30 to 7:30 in the mornings, we have six lanes open, and then from 7:30 to 9:30 or 7:30 to 10, we have three lanes open.
So you have to wait to get somebody to get out before you get in, or how does that, do they work?
Yeah,
like,
or you can share, or...
But they usually work it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was going up there and doing it. They were real good to share. And they, you know, I'd do a lap, and then they'd do a lap.
Yep.
And it lasts very long.
Circle swim.
Yeah. Just give you a breather there, huh?
Yeah.
It'd last very long.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but you have staff that can open up and take care of that end of it.
Yes. As long as none of them consider two vacations, we're good.
You know, just from my experience down at work, I mean, sometimes we hire high school kids to wash vans and do cleanup type stuff, pull weeds and stuff. And $8 an hour used to bring them in, but not anymore.
Not anymore.
it's crazy. It's a crazy world we're in right now. But you think about it. If you're training them to be lifeguards and all of that, then that adds value to them. Mm-hmm. And if they're dependable and trustworthy and all of that, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think $10 an hour is unreasonable.
Yeah. And then the more they do, the more they get paid. So if they decide to teach lessons, they get paid $0.05. The swim team, do water aerobics, become a head guard.
Yeah.
So there is room for raise there. But if we could even do like a yearly raise, the longer they're there, the more raises they get, 10 cents, something like that, I think that would help the team quite a bit.
Well, when you get somebody trained, you want to do what you can to keep them on board. And look for those type of people that you feel like are going to stick around. They're not just going to be there for a season or whatnot.
Or you don't have to worry about them breaking a window or leaving the doors unlocked or something like that that we've never had happen once.
Yeah, it's a problem Brittany's got. She's working with high school kids.
Yeah, that is.
It's been the most fun. Because we don't pay enough to get an adult in there to take over these duties.
Well,
we talked to Lance today.
High school kids I had wouldn't work for $8.
Yeah, I know. That's what I say, but part of what we get hit on is spending money that we don't have here in the city. So the citizens hit us with.
If we're open, you know.
I just think that as it evolves, we develop it. It's guaranteed open certain hours, that it will evolve just like every other thing that we've done along the lines of recreation.
Oh, I do too. I do too. It's like the mayor and I was talking, there's not a pool in the state of Utah that makes money.
At least the small towns.
That we know of, the small towns.
Right.
Those that's got the big recreational programs and stuff in the cities, yes.
They also have the community that can afford to pay higher prices.
Well, they have a lot.
They have 200
tax base.
Yeah, they have 200,000 residents too.
Wow.
I will say we did, like I said, we made a lot of money this summer. We did a lot with it. If we have more staff available, we could do another session of lessons, but we can't do that because I don't have the staff. We did do a lot of party reservations this year. I'm not sure what it was, but I think it tripled how many reservations we have in a year just in our summer alone. We have a lot more youth groups, that sort of thing. So I think we're getting bigger. We just need the staff to make sure we can actually grow bigger. So.
Yep.
Well, I want to thank you myself, Brittany. You did a heck of a job.
Thank creeps.
I'll second that.
Yeah, she does. She does a good job.
She works at it real well.
Having somebody as attention to detail and make sure it's running and clean.
Oh, it's clean.
Always clean.
She's selling stuff on the side up there trying to make money. We was wondering today about raising the prices of goggles.
Just a little bit, just a little bit. Things are more expensive now, so.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. You're trying to run a Cadillac program on a Volkswagen budget. But so there are some limitations, but I think you're doing a good job with what resources you have.
Well, thank you. And we were going to look into more grants. We were working with the school district on one, but it turned out we didn't qualify for it just right. So we're going to keep looking for grants and that sort of thing to see what else we can do to just supplement things. So.
Okay.
Number one out of 12, something to be proud of.
Yes, it is.
And we're going to work hard to maintain that spot. So.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. We're proud of it.
Thank you, Brittany.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right. Next is the discussion on the culinary water capacity, minimum capacity report.
And Kevin has joined for Zoom.
Has he? Can he hear us?
Can you hear us, Kevin?
I can. Can you guys hear me okay?
We can.
Hey, all right. Technology, okay.
For now.
At least for a minute.
Yeah.
Do you want to go over what you found out for us?
Sure, yeah. I got some stuff together and sent out for the last meeting, but it sounds like we pushed to this one. So I thought I'd just go over that with you. Make sure we're on the same page. We did reach out to the state people that are over setting these system specific requirements. It sounds like they have actually set system specific requirements for the Mount Pleasant system. It was just the fall of last year, so it's been pretty recent. And the numbers that they have for that were pretty close to what we had in PER. So it showed that there's a current deficit between the required source capacity and the available source capacity. I kind of talked through our game plan with that Mission Drinking Water engineer. Her name is Danielle Zavalia. She thought it was a good idea to do the analysis and get the report. It would help them answer some other questions that they still have on the system. And they also just get a better number on what the system really means. As far as the analysis, that we did get the source meter readings from Coulter sent over what we have from 2018, 2019, and 2020. And then we've also looked at some of the electrical meter readings that Shane's been able to get together and send over. Now there's a little bit longer history that we're still hoping to get from Shane on those. We'll keep coordinating with him on that.
I'm working on it.
What's that?
I'm working on it. We changed metering systems. We went from a TS1 system to Plex, and so they're having a hard time pulling the reads from the old meters that we retired.
Things get lost in translation.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's a huge pain, and we'll make do with what we've got for sure. So, with those numbers and the drain calculations, we got projected a minimum required source capacity 1,240 gallons a minute. The PER lists the existing source capacity we have right now. That's before the water project we've got going right now at 1,270. So it doesn't show a deficit right now, but it's right there. There are a few things that could change with that with the existing sources. One of them is that the cemetery well is included in that number, which right now isn't real, isn't being used in the system. And then the it changes year to year and season to season a little bit. I do think the 200 gallons minute that we have in the PER is probably real close to where it'll be, or where it ought to be. But yeah, that could change. So I guess from here, what the plan is, we will get that data into a formal report, send that over to the city for review, and once we're got any comments resolved from the city, we'll submit that to the Division of Drinking Water and address any comments or questions that they have on it. Then we anticipate that they would adopt that as the new standard, which would give the city some more solid stand on it, I think, in making decisions related to that. So
Devin, I have one question, or maybe two. The original PER, if I remember right, I don't have it in front of me, but it showed that we had a deficit a while ago.
Yep.
Based on the numbers that, or the values that the state requires us to use. But if I understand you correctly, we've gained a little bit of ground because, I guess we haven't gained a little bit of ground. We're still in the same situation, but we're in a real situation now where we were in kind of a hypothetical situation or a projected, assumed situation before, I guess, is kind of the way to put it. So, in my opinion, with it, because really, 1,200, with the cemetery wall, we're at 1,200 gallon a minute. And our demand is 1,240. Is that right?
That's right.
So, we have a deficit of 40 gallon minute, the way I see it, with the cemetery well off. I mean, obviously, when we turn the another month, that all changes because we don't have any outdoor use, but as it stands right now, and for next summer, if we don't get any more source, we're going to be in the same boat, and if we continue to allow people to build, it's going to compound that. So, I don't know, I guess, what does 6 months buy us if we do decide to suspend building permits? I don't know if we gain anything right now because we are going to be irrigating or using secondary, but 6 months from now is going to be where we're going to be in the situation again. So I guess that's my concern: how fast we can get water in the pipes from another source.
Do you have an update when they're going to start drilling?
Yeah, we held a pre-construction meeting with Pipe Plains Drilling. The last piece that we need before they can officially start is the notice to proceed to be approved by Rural Development. We were hoping to have that today. It didn't happen today. We're hoping to have it tomorrow now. And then Marcus is planning on starting that. I believe he's saying towards the end of this week or next week, so we're hopeful it'll be right here quick that we'll get going and get some real info on what we've got there in that spot and be able to go from there.
Well, that'll answer a lot of questions, so I guess in that light, I think we don't, in my opinion, I don't think we do really anything until we find out what the test well is going to produce. And then if we find out it's not going to, one way or the other, if there's cause for alarm because of the way the test well goes, then I guess we look at some options. So,
how long does it take to run a test well? Do you know, Deb?
I think there's a lot of variables on it. We do have a contract time in there. I think that the total time frame that we have for the test well, which includes drilling and pumping and all the sampling and reporting that goes along with it, is 45 days. It is a pretty short turnaround. If we do get good results from the test well, we would then move forward with the preliminary engineering report and the source protection plan for that site. So that would take probably at least another couple of months before we could begin with the production well.
Half, two, three, half, 4 months.
And then we go treatment plant. We go on the production well from there.
They're 2 weeks into the pilot.
So we have a second location for backup, just in case the first well, we don't find what we want. Is that second location in the time, that 45-day time frame?
No.
No, the second location, we need to do another bid for.
Okay.
Just going to be a little bit different circumstances, depth would be different, and we would have to open that up again.
Devin, I know it's a hypothetical question, but I'm just wondering, with the treatment plant and the well, can you project even within a month or 6 months when everything might be up and we can address these contractors and subdividers as to when maybe that would be ready to use?
The preliminary schedule that we have is going to have to come down to which summer we can get with it, which summer we can be up and running. And I think based on our schedule right now, we probably can count on it earlier than the summer of 23. So I think there's a good chance that we can have it up and going by next fall if things go well. But I don't think it would be wise to count on having it before the summer of 22.
That would go a long way too.
Okay. Summer 23 then is what would be the best one to go with then.
And then what do we got? 2 more weeks of the water treatment pilot?
Yeah. I think it is 2 more weeks. It's gone fast. It's gone really well. The membranes have been working well with the water that's going through it. They haven't had to do the level of cleaning that they anticipated with it, which, you know, is a good sign. We expected good results like that because it is much good water. But yeah, so far the results have been good with that. So we don't expect any hiccups with the membranes being approved for the final plan there. So
Devin, in the event that we do, and hopefully we do get a good well right the first time, can we put that well online before the project's complete? Can we get approval in based on just on the well, and then the treatment plant will come when it's done? Is that a possibility?
It could. We could do that if we handle the chlorination of the well separately. And it may be worth it if that allows us to get it online for next summer. That we could definitely look at that. As we plan it right now, we have planned to have the transmission line up to the spring site and the well house in together. Mm-hmm. And then have the treatment plant bid separately. That's some fluid. We can adjust that. The transmission line up the canyon is kind of a separate piece that really we can break off and bid anytime. do us a whole lot of good before we have true plan, but it's a piece that we can do, and then, because the well house is just, again, we don't want to get too far down that road before we all, it's going to be there where we're, our first site is.
Right into our conversation, just in case well.
So yeah, we could end up going separate from the true plan.
Probably a lot of it just depends on what comes with that test well.
Yeah, that's kind of the question of the day.
Yep. Claudia.
What's the justification for using cemetery water in the calculation since it can't be used for culinary? I think it's future data.
Because the cemetery is watered with, because they use culinary for the cemetery.
It's a resource we have that's available. If we had to, we could use. That's part of the reason why they use it in the calculation.
So you could actually displace whatever you're using on the cemetery with that well, and that water would theoretically go into the system elsewhere. So it is a source that they could use that way. We haven't done that.
Have we had it tested to see if it's potable?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tested every year.
Yep.
From what I understood, we're going to use it to irrigate the cemetery.
It doesn't produce enough.
Okay.
We're going to try and use it to hydro seed that new part, but then we backed off of that.
It just doesn't produce enough water.
You don't have to chlorinate that?
No. It was mixed with what's already in the pipe and be fine.
Because of the amount we're putting in too, right?
What does it produce?
70 gallons a minute.
70 gallons a minute.
So why, I guess my question is, why aren't we using it?
We can. We just haven't had the need to use it versus the electricity it pulls for them.
But 70 gallons a minute will feed probably 30 homes.
We can throw it in the system anytime. It's ready.
It hasn't pumped the waste for a while though, doesn't it, first before you?
Yeah. It pumps dirty at first. Still drinkable, just much bad.
But if it's mixed, 70 gallon a minute in the whole system is going to be such a small amount that, I mean, it adds to it, but as far as any impact on the actual water, I don't think.
The last time we had it in the system, you told me we lost the well for a little bit. The other well, we had it turned in. We can do that.
Well, and maybe, I mean, these numbers assume that we are, so. And that with those, there's a surplus of 30 gallon a minute. I mean, but.
So how do you, does that water need to be treated before we put it in the system, or does it just dilute with what's already in the system? There's enough treatment in the existing. So it sounds like it's, yeah.
Okay.
Anything else for Devin?
I don't have anything.
Well, I just have one question. The water from the well, will that be, will there be a transmission line to the water tank and then we treat that water in the water tank, or will it be treated at the well house?
It'll either be treated at the well house or with the water treatment plant.
Okay, so.
That's why he was talking about, we could do it either way, depending on what we really find with the well to how quick we're going to have to get it in there. So.
Not it would, adding chlorine to that would be part of the requirements to have it so it could go into the system.
Yeah.
Like, that might be a little fraction that might hold it up for a couple of weeks or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But sounded like that would be part of the process of getting ready for the, to go in the system, is being able to add chlorine to it. Which which I believe there's systems to be able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you could set a temporary up without
getting old.
I mean, it gets pretty basic. Yeah, to treat it.
Put chlorine in it.
Yeah. So if we get a good well, and we needed some water next summer.
We could put a portable there.
Yeah, we could put it in the system.
Yeah.
That'll help relieve some of the stress on the... And if we get, I don't know, you know, just showing numbers out there, 500-700 gallons a minute. I think, you know, he's being optimistic and hoping for 700 gallons a minute. So that'd be a big difference.
It would be humongous.
That'd give us a little bit of breathing room.
So can we ask Devin, as far as our project, can we assume that it's within days of kicking off and then staying in progress from now on with the well and then the treatment plant and so forth?
Yeah, as far as the test well, I said we assume that they'll get going and be able to keep going until we have the results there, and can make the decision once we have those results. There will be, like I said, a time in between, you know, if we do get the good results, and where we'll have to do the sort of protection plan and some paperwork stuff before we can start the production well. But yeah, other than that, there's no roadblocks on keeping it going.
Just from my understanding, is the can't we start the treatment plants before the well's in progress?
Yeah, the treatment plant, we can start it to the final design once we have the approved from the state of the pilot test that we're doing right now. So we were able to get that short down to 4 weeks. A lot of times they require a lot longer time period. So that'll be a big help with us there. But yeah, once we have those results, we can jump into the final design of the treatment plant and get that ready to go realistically for a February, March timeframe bid. And then depending on where the other pieces are, whether we decide to do the transmission line earlier or along with that, and the well house, depending on what happens there, we can do those before or after we're concurrently.
Okay,
we're moving forward. Slow but sure.
Yep,
slow but sure. It was like we're about 2 years behind schedule. Well, I'm with you though. I don't think with the existing permits that we've given, you got to honor them. But I think any more building, until we get some clarification around where we're at.
Yeah, and how much longer?
That's what we're in.
Are we just going to get into a habit of watering one day a week? I mean, I'd like to see folks be able to water 2 or 3 days a week, you know, and what direction are we going?
Well, I think with the irrigation system, that would be possible. But with this culinary water, the buildings
dump some out.
That's what I'm talking about. The existing permits. We honor the existing, but we don't give out any. What do you think, Mayor?
I'd like to give us the 45 days to see what that test well does.
The way it is, but still, if the test well, then they got to drill another well.
If the test well comes up dry, then we got to take action.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts.
Yeah.
If we leave it open until we get the results of the test well.
I agree.
I mean, I think people are going to be doing, I mean,
We got any people knocking on the door right now for building permits to go into the winter?
The building permits have really slowed down. We need the planning commission basically shut down any major, you know, 50 lot subdivisions kind of thing. You might have one or two simple lots that's been closed down, but it seems to have slowed down.
A lot of the building permits have slowed down. Even just the regular ones on the lots have just really come to screeching halt the last 2 months, probably.
Well, I think the costs of everything have slowed down.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I think us putting the impact fees in us, I think there was a big push right there, and then now it's just died too.
Yeah, the cost of materials and...
Yeah, well, and folks don't try to go in the wintertime, because it's...
I'm with the mayor. I think we ought to just not overreact until we see what this test will bring.
That's what they have, so... Anything else for Devin? Thanks, Devin.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, thanks. Okay, moving on, public participation. Pam Stoker.
Yes, we were supposed to be about what we covered a little bit about the well out to the cemetery. And if you remember, a month ago, we talked about doing the water truck and filling it, watering the trees, and that's what we're going to do. I know we had rain, but it's not enough for the trees. And when Mr. Means was here, he told us how we needed to water them. So if that water's there and we can use it, is that not a possibility to fill the water truck and water the trees? We also have a dead tree down on the Wagonville Farm. I know you don't water that because of the lack of water, but by doing that, we're destroying the trees. So is that a concern? Do you feel that maybe we could use the water truck to water the trees?
Most of the trees on the Wagon Wheel Park are those Chinese, or not, Russian, Chinese elms.
Right.
So they are a trashy, trashy tree.
But the one we knocked wasn't.
Was the pine tree. Yeah.
There was two. There's a flowering tree there too.
In that park?
Yeah.
The Wagon Wheel Park, yeah.
Yep. We just need to grapple that. It'll be done.
Well, I don't think we can gravel all where all the trees are drying. I think we need to try and save what we can, especially in the cemetery. And this was something that was mentioned that we could do.
Do you?
So is it something we can do?
Do you have to go get the arena truck to do that?
No, we got to go water there. I said water. We got 3 inches of rain. I didn't go water.
But that doesn't go deep enough to water the trees.
Well, we can do that.
I even have a volunteer to drive the truck, if possible, if you need that.
Yeah, we're going to have you do it, Pam.
I will. Save the trees.
Yeah, we'll get it this week.
Probably, there's probably a few on State Street we got to hit, too.
I agree. There's some things you can't, limitations on what you can do with the landscape and the grass and things, but I think the trees ought to be a primary focus on what we can do to keep those alive.
A priority.
Priority.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, you'll take care of that then? Okay. Get with Pam. She's got the volunteer truck driver.
Look out, Rick. Yeah, he's a good one, man. He can do it. Yes, he can.
Okay, next is resolution 2021-17, a resolution amending resolution 2020-11-20, a resolution establishing fees for opening and closing graves.
I read that today. Wasn't there an attachment with it? There was an attachment with it, wasn't there?
No, just this is the fee for opening and closing graves.
Yeah.
We just really looked at them, and I know we're probably not breaking even on a lot of them.
So are these the proposed, the new cost?
Yeah. Yep. The red, let's see. No, the black is...
Why don't you work on this, you can draw me a little bit?
Yeah, and I'm looking at it right now.
Sorry.
But I know that Mount Pleasant City was, we've waited on other comparable communities in the area, Manti, Ephraim, Salina.
So the biggest thing that would change is it would open, for the opening and closing of grave on weekdays, it's right now $250, would raise it to $350. For residents, and it is $350 right now, for non-residents, would raise it to $450. And then for Saturdays, right now for residents, it's $300, would then raise it to $500, because we're paying the overtime. Non-residents, it would go to $600, and it's $400 right now. And then, that's the biggest change with it.
So is this mainly just to cover the labor to take care of the graves, or is this for perpetual care?
No, this is just to dig the grave and get it back covered.
What about maintaining the cemetery, is that a different fee or something?
Yeah, that's under the purchase of the grave site, the first one there. And I think we need to look at that too. But right now, we knew with talking with Coulter and going over our numbers and hours, we've been watching, man hours, what it's taken us, we're not breaking even, so we gotta raise it to break even. And then that's another talk of the grave spots, and the perpetual care is another thing we need to look at.
So you're saying the perpetual care is included in the purchase of the grave space?
No.
Well, it's separate.
You pay it the same time. Yes, you pay it at the same time, but it's $200 for the grave site and $200.
But that's the same as it's been, correct me if I'm wrong.
That's right.
So we're not raising that.
That's why it says we need to look at that.
Well, that's the thing, is the cost to do stuff and keep things up is going up. So it almost makes sense that should go up a little bit.
But we do know for opening and closing the grave right now, we know we're losing, because we've been having them keep track the last month and a half. So
are we going to adopt this tonight?
We'd like to, and then we'll have to look at.
I would think we would look at the whole schedule before we adopt it, but
we can do either way.
We'll just have to adopt the new one once that gets hammered out, right?
Right. Yep.
Which would be the actual cost of the graves, is that what?
Yes.
And the perpetual.
Right.
Perpetual care.
It don't matter. I mean, it's not a big deal to pass another ordinance, but.
Resolution.
Well, didn't we just raise them?
No, we talked about it, but we never did.
That's why I thought this would be included with this one. But.
And Sandra keeps saying that we shouldn't raise it, but I think we should. But we do know immediately that we need to take care of the opening and closing of the graves, because we followed that long enough to know that we're not breaking even.
So it'd go from $400 to $900 then?
For which one?
For purchasing the perpetual care.
No, that depends on whatever.
For the
non-resident, yeah. So,
well, that's
so
what I just paid, $400.
Right. Because
you're
a
resident.
Right. So right, the only thing that this would increase right now is opening and closing the graves.
Oh, okay.
Because like I said, we've studied that long enough and we know we're losing money, so we wanted to take action to break even on that. And we need to look at the grave costs and adjust that also.
Have we looked at comparisons with other cemeteries on that?
Rondi did earlier.
The cost of the grave?
Yes.
Yeah, so Fairview's $300.
Do they have a
Ephraim's $325, Gunnison's $300.
Do they have a perpetual care charge too in there?
You know what, I didn't get that information, I just got the cost of the grave.
So you don't know whether that's concluded or it's an additional charge, is what you're saying?
I could not confirm. I would assume that it's not, the perpetual care isn't included in that. And a lot of this information, I didn't see anything about perpetual care charges.
So did we ever end up putting a person over the cemetery, like we talked?
No. Nope. that's, I guess, a different topic, but it just reminded me of a...
Yeah.
A perpetual care, I mean...
Well, the decision here is, we should adopt this as soon as possible, right?
I think we should collect...
So we should start collecting this, opening and closing the graves, and then we need to look at the grave prices.
And that's what you've determined, and...
Uh-huh.
So, do you need a motion, or what?
Yep.
I'll make a motion that we increase the cost of opening and closing of the graves for weekdays from $250 to $350 for residents, and on non-residents, it would be increased. I'm not sure what the previous one was.
$350, it's the one.
It was $350 to $450, and then increasing the cost of Saturdays for residents would go from $300 to $500, and non-residents would go from $400 to $600 on Saturdays. And then interment after 3 p.m. any day will stay the same, which is an additional charge of $100 if it's in the afternoon or evening. Correct?
Anytime after 3 p.m. they get charged
$100. That's the resolution on the table tonight.
Uh-huh.
That's my motion.
You want to just read that?
A resolution amending the resolution 2011-20A, a resolution establishing fees for opening and closing of graves. So this has been in effect since 2011.
Yes. Yep.
So it's probably due for looking at.
Yes.
So I'll second that.
A little overdue.
Yeah. All right. So I have the motion by Kevin and seconded by Justin to accept the Mount Pleasant City Resolution 2021-17, a resolution amending the resolution of 2011-20, a resolution establishing fees for opening and closing of graves. Roll call.
Justin?
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Ronnie?
Yes.
All right. Next is resolution 2021-18, a resolution of approving an increase in the participation entitlement share under the Carbon Free Power Project sales contract.
Okay, so I was talking to Mary, this is just kind of a discussion, but looking at we just had the capital facilities plan done, and looking at our growth, the Carbon Free Power Project, as you know, is not going to come on until 2029. So I'm hoping if we increase the amount from 1.8 to 3 right now, I don't think we'll... So you can always increase, but you can't decrease, if you know what I'm saying, on the project. And so, the projects where we're sitting at is coming along. They're still in the COLA process. Everything getting approved through the whole nuclear committee and all that. We did go down from, instead of a 12 module, it is going to be a 6 module unit. So I'm just kind of describing what the project actually, some changes that's been made. And so it was a 942 megawatt. We cut it down to 6 modules and we went to 462 megawatts. So we pretty much kind of cut it in half. But the technology that's increasing and everything, one module, when we first got into the project, let me make sure I'm telling you right here, one module was going to create 60 megawatts, but now they're able to increase that power output to 77 megawatts out of one module. And so there's going to be 6 of those at 77 megawatts apiece. It's just, I believe, 462 megawatts. And so they're out still soliciting to get prescriptions, people signing up, and it's getting full. But we have first dibs since we're in on the project, we're producing the project, we're the board members. And so I was just asking permission to increase our share from 1.8 megawatts to 3 based on our capital facilities plan and the that study that we just had done, the growth we're going to see. And then we might have to look at this again from 2025 to see where we're sitting at on the growth, if we do have to increase it again. Because this is, like I said, it's not coming on until 2029. But there's been some situations arise, with the change in administration and all that other kind of stuff. We do have some new, we got Steel Solar that's going to be coming on in October. So that's going to be adding an extra 300 kW into our portfolio, which is around 3 cents. This project, the Carbon Free Power Project, it was at 55 cents per megawatt hour. They bumped that up to $58 per megawatt hour of today's price come 2029, which is actually pretty good because you look at the horse meat wind, it's usually around $65 to $70 per megawatt hour. And so this is coming in pretty good. It's actually comparable to, it's going to be comparable to some of the gas plants if they can keep it at that $58. But if they can't, then the project fails. The ETC, it can't go over $58 per megawatt hour, or else the project's done. So as you know, we did get that DOE grant. I got awarded that. And so 55, 58, covered that.
So what do you mean project fails? So is that like a guaranteed maximum price or something that they have?
Yeah.
By the contract?
By the board, by us, the board members, UM's board members.
So if a contractor, it ends up costing them more to build it or whatever.
Then that's that new scale, isn't it? Or the
new scale. You use new scale and they're doing the new scale, doing the
nuclear
reactors.
Yeah.
And if it comes in over $58 an hour, $58 per megawatt hour, then it's a failure.
So what do they do?
The project's done.
They eat it.
They just scale.
Abandon it.
Yeah.
So that's why we're trying to get everything in our ducks in a row before we actually start building.
So does it cost us more to buy in
to increase
for more demand?
No, it don't. It does cost if we decrease, because then we're taking off some of that guarantee that's supposed to.
Yeah.
So if you but
like
if
an
increase, no, we get first dibs when it comes to increase. So.
Because the project's going to cost the same.
Yes.
Just no matter whoever invests in it.
Right. And that's why they're going around trying to see who wants to be in on the project. And so the more people that invest in this project, the more, our cost goes down. So.
But there's only a limited amount of output.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we're only buying 3% of what the plant is capable of producing. And correct me if I'm wrong, but we had have a similar arrangement with the Intermountain Power Project,
exactly.
Which
yes.
We have a percentage there, but we have actually sold our percentage to other
municipalities. We still have our percentage there.
We haven't, but we've been renting it out or something.
Yeah, we've been right. California.
We didn't sell a percentage,
yeah.
But we've been selling the power.
We've been selling the power, and right. California's been taking pretty much all of IPP. And that's converted to gas right now too, and in that thing they're actually planning on burning hydrogen along with the gas, that gas plant out there too. So some definitely interesting technologies that are coming about. So
you just come back from the UNS meeting. What's their feelings about the future of nuclear?
I think it's in my opinion and in Doug's opinion. And a lot of the board members, it's got to be the way. Because what else is replacing coal? I mean, renewables have their places, but the sun doesn't always shine. The battery technology is not quite there yet.
is coming, but it's not quite there. Wind, you can't predict it. Like, for instance, in this last in June, out of 100%, not that I'm not here to bat on wind, I think wind's good and everything, but it just depends on the month, the time of the year, and if the wind's going to blow, if it's going, you just...
You never know.
It only produces out of 100%, 12% of our allocations that we need in the U.S.
I was just wondering, in comparison to gas, is Newt going to...
See, the thing is, against gas, what's going on with gas is...
They want to get rid of it, too.
They're going to get rid of that, too.
And it's going to get more expensive, I assume.
Yes.
It's just pretty scary being down there at the convention and...
You got this Green New Deal that's coming.
See what California's got going on?
And they're really pushing it now with the administration that's there now. And it is kind of scary. And the only way, in my opinion, the only way they can get us to decrease more and more emissions is they got to stop China and all those other countries from building coal power plants and everything. Everybody on the continent needs to get on the same page and do the same exact thing if they want to see
emissions come.
But you, the United States can be a leader, but I don't want to see us getting punished for, you know, or trying to do what's right. But yeah, they're trying to force it on us. And then you also look at the electrical cars, you know, more demand coming onto the grid. And so it's getting kind of shaky.
We can be glad we're not in California. Let's just put it that way.
It was interesting to me when I went to the one up in Jackson.
A more ways than one.
That they were talking about, they'd have to cover the whole state of New Mexico with batteries to power Texas.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that would rely on sun every day, no clouds.
Yeah.
And I got out of that meeting that coal power is going to be around for a while because when it clouds up and it becomes winter, and there's no sun, solar's not going to get it done.
You have to have something that's that base load, like the coal power plants have had for so long.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, on this with this nuclear plant, the way a reason I see it being the way of the future is it can follow the load.
It can jump.
So solar comes on, it's going to drop off. Solar all of a sudden drops off. When the sun goes down, it's going to wrap back up. And it can react pretty quick, a lot faster than the coal power plants.
Yeah. So I think it's a deal.
It's going to be either that or it's going to be hydrogen.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's got to be. It's going to be one of the
two. They're still storing all that, doing hydrogen storage. Got no salt mines out there.
Yeah, that's what they're planning on doing, storing that hydrogen out there for IPP when it's switching to gas. So it should be gas come 2025. And then they're hoping to mix the hydrogen from the salt mines, from the salt storage units into that gas to help it burn cleaner.
It's interesting. So,
we're paying today's rate for power in
2029.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but I would imagine that 2029 power can be a lot more expensive.
I think by 2025, the way the demands that California is putting on your sea power go out of sight.
Yeah.
By 2025.
Yeah, and especially if they start talking about what they were talking about, the going in the CAISO and having these these transmission
districts.
Transmission districts and stuff. It's definitely changing how the way we're doing business.
Well, I think it provides security to the residents here in Mount Pleasant.
I think it does too.
I honestly think we'll probably eventually, when it comes 2029, if we see the growth like we're seeing now, we might be up to six megs.
And you can always increase, like
you can always increase, but you can't decrease.
What I would be in, I would support going from 1.83.
So 1.83 right now, and then 2025 we'll look at it then, and then we'll look at it again. I think the other 2028, and then 2028 you got to be locked in, and so, or 2027, sorry,
yeah,
gonna be locked in.
And you make a motion and I'll second it.
Well, I'll make a motion that we increase our agreement with the
Supposed to be the carbon-free power project?
Yes, the resolution.
From 1.8 megawatts to 3 megawatts.
Yep.
In our agreement.
We need to get the resolution.
And that's, yeah, and that's resolution number, we approved resolution number 2021-18.
Yep.
I second it.
Okay, I have a motion by Rondi and seconded by Russell to accept resolution 2021-18, resolution approving an increase in our participation entitlement shared under the carbon-free power project, power sales agreement contract from 1.8 to 3 megawatts. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Let's see, I guess we have to do roll, do we have to do roll call on this? We probably better do roll call. All right, let's do roll call on it.
Justin?
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes.
Thanks, Shane.
Thank you, guys. Just, and Ephraim just increased theirs from, they were at 3, they went up to 8. 3 megawatts went up to 8.
They're figuring on the growth, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so.
Fairview in?
What's that?
Fairview in?
Yeah, they are. Fairview and Spring City's in, so.
But they're staying where they're at, or?
Yeah, for right now.
I don't think Fairview would be looking at that, but.
Yeah, they're staying where they're at for right now. The reason why I wanted to get this in, because Jackie's kind of been pressuring us, because they want to get a new spreadsheet spread out on what everybody's sitting at, and so we can, so they can kind of go out and solicit.
How many more do they have to fill the slots?
And so what I'll do is I'll send you guys the copy of that compensation, and I'll also send you a spreadsheet, which is it's still confidential, but I can share it with you guys on where other utilities are sitting in the carbon-free power project, along with if we change our if we change 1.8.
The allotment type.
The allotment, you can kind of see how it's going to work in the expense line and all that. So it's, but we're getting there. So.
Sounds good to me.
Thanks, Shane.
Thanks, guys.
All right, next is resolution 2021-19, a resolution setting a fee for inspection of manufactured housing units. Maybe to give you a little detail on this here, we have one that wants to come into Aspen Village that we're very much questioning, and we figure we should go inspect it, and yet we have nothing as far as a resolution to say that we can go charge, so.
Who does that?
By the code, it says personnel designated by the mayor. So it could be anyone.
Does it have to be, you have to have any special knowledge or skill or understanding of how to inspect those to make sure?
I would think a regular building inspector could do it.
Calls for, but you know, me or Mike were talking that over, if we want to come up with a list too of things that we would be looking for.
I mean, we'd want to go make sure all the plumbing's working and, mm-hmm. you know, the power, the breakers, the look underneath the trailer.
That's where I'm the bull. It almost seems like a county building official do that.
There's a standard that states that a manufactured home built prior to a certain year
right.
doesn't meet standard.
Right.
Is it 78?
Yeah.
I mean, we've got a problem in this area that a lot of them are over that. Yeah. So I wasn't sure of the year, so I mean, that would be a place to start, is knowing that it's a fairly modern.
This particular one, we're questioning it very much so.
So it could be that old.
It's in Chester, and they want to move it up to Aspen Village.
It's in the Sutherlands.
Well, so again, it's kind of
moving.
Well, it's just because they have a lot up there, and this trailer's available. It's close by, so it's like over there, they rent the spots. Over there, over here, they can have a lot, or you know, their grounds paid for.
Yeah. So that's in that park at Chester right now.
Chester right now, yes.
So what standard would the inspector have to rate it at in order for us to approve the move?
Class C.
Huh?
A Class C.
Class C.
So again, it's like, right now they send us a picture, we don't get to see any of the inside. We don't know if anything's even working inside the building.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like one of those deals that...
I think Michelle, that's a great idea. I think Michelle would cover our...
Has nothing with the fee schedule.
Oh.
This sets a fee to go in.
But I remember having that discussion on changing that code 15 years ago.
Well, probably not that long.
Such a mess up there already. Do we need some more?
No.
To set that standard.
We need a standard. We need to know what's going on.
I mean, it has some roles as far as like, okay, when you're looking at Class D, we need to look at things like plumbing, electrical.
So we're not prohibited from going and inspecting those before they move them in. We have the authority to do it. We just don't have a fee to go.
So again, if we...
Either. I mean, I've had some as far as away from Provo.
And they pull them here and before we even have a chance to look at them, so
yeah.
We're ready to put it here. Or they just put it in there.
So again, if they're serious, then at least they don't have to pay the fee to have somebody go inspect it to even see if it's somewhat even close to standard before they can even move it here.
Travel rate and personnel time is around $50 an hour.
So you want the ability to send at least two people too, so you have some protection and then also two people witnessing.
So it could cost them a few hundred dollars.
Easily.
To have to take, maybe that will, in a way, discourage them from moving.
Right.
maybe.
If it's questionable, hopefully this will defer them not to even look at coming. That's part of our hope.
And so what's the process if you find that it's not up to standard? Do they have the option to go in and get it to standard before they move it, or is it just it's not to standard, you can't move it on?
Yeah, I guess it depends what the problem would be that the inspection would be okay. So if it was a problem, the plumbing is completely shot, maybe if they want to pay a follow-up inspection 3 months later.
After they do the improvements? I guess that would be kind of a discussion, follow-up discussion, or a report almost from whoever's doing the inspection. I would anticipate that there would be more, the personnel time would include maybe even a summary report, not necessarily just a
That's a good point to consider.
Well, what me and Dave talked about is we'd have to come up with a checklist.
Yeah.
So it was consistent with every one that we went and looked at, you know.
So who are you going to get to do the inspecting?
We haven't decided yet.
I would think it would have to be somebody that's ICBO certified, wouldn't it?
Mm.
In a way. That's why I kind of thought it would be the county,
the
building inspector.
The county won't do it. The county won't do it.
Well, I'll tell you that county.
Well, you can find independent.
We had that deal over here with that house next to old Mike Hills.
I guess I would lean more towards that.
They wouldn't even flip and go look at it.
Well, even if we hired a home inspector to go inspect it, somebody that's certified as a home inspector, but I still have a problem there because they're not licensed. You know what I'm saying? But at least then there's somebody that's something that way. So even again, we could go hire a home inspector, or somebody like that there. At least
the county inspector work on the side?
I'm not sure.
We have ICBO guys, and I'm not trying to promote anything here, but we did a lot for Ephraim when they had that trailer park there. We went in and inspected it, and they had to do some things to get it up to standard, and Ephraim hired us to do that. But we have a building safety division that does that kind of stuff. I'm just saying that those kind of resources are out there.
Right, that's kind of why I wanted it set high enough.
And I guess it doesn't matter if you have at least if you have a fee, you can. That's right. A place to start.
Yep.
You know, if something's built,
that's definitely needed.
If something's built prior to about 85, it's going to have poly in it, and that's outlawed now. It should be replaced with PEX. So there's a lot of little things like that probably ought to be looked at.
Yeah. And again, part of our hope is that if it's a questionable trailer, and they start seeing our fees and stuff, it's like, okay, we're not, it's not even worth going to Mount Pleasant, let's go someplace else.
Right, and if there's something that says, you gotta make all these repairs before you can bring it on here, that's even another reason for them to consider something else.
Right, right, right.
I'll make a motion.
What's that?
I didn't know what kind of modular or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, instead, that would be ideal.
Yep.
That's what we're hoping for, that that would maybe evolve into something like that over time.
Yep.
Up there.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I'll make a motion, adopting, resolution 2021-19, a resolution setting the fee for the inspection, for inspection of manufactured housing units.
I'll second.
That's probably all that needs to be said.
Yeah, that's all that I need. Okay, I have the motion by Kevin, seconded by Justin, to adopt resolution 2021-19, a resolution setting the fee for the inspection of manufactured housing units. Roll call.
Justin.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Rodney.
Yes.
Cleaning up the mess.
Hopefully before it gets here. Next, Public Works.
We're still trying to wrap up late summer. Water's holding out good. Treatment plant, probably still going, so we do have 2 weeks, we talked about that earlier. So we haven't had to actually flush and clean the membrane. Like they thought we were gonna have to. They actually called me last Thursday and said, don't clean them, we wanna see what it does going 2 weeks without doing it. The water's doing really well. So that's encouraging news, that the water's good. We're still wrapping up potholes, we're on the west side of town. How far did you guys make it today to finish First West?
No.
So we still got some First West down to Fifth West. And then, started mowing streets, catching up on that. Now with a little bit of rain, I'm not as worried about starting fire. With our roads mowing.
And it's jumping along the streets now too with that rain too.
Yeah. Still working on a few street signs, staying busy.
Was Twin Creek, was the pond empty this afternoon?
Not that I know of.
I didn't hardly have any pressure. I don't know if I flushed my filter, but I just couldn't even, my rain birds were just.
I'll have to go look at it. Yeah, not that I know of. Jimmy didn't call me. Same good man.
Maybe it was just me. Maybe it was just my lot for some reason. So
I'll look at it too, we got going.
Mine went corral off to State Street.
That sprinkler, the one that came in, is water more concrete than it is grass.
I just wanted to shut it off.
On that corner. It was shooting past the grass.
Could have been a little bit of humor.
You're on a different pond.
You gotta be real crazy.
We'll get out there.
Are we?
I just thought about that.
Are we gonna be able to resolve the water on the tree issue?
Yes.
I think going into fall, before winter, it'd be good if they got good, got a good drink. If the water's holding up and everything, there's no reason why we can't get them watered.
We'll go soak them up here tomorrow, a couple times a week.
Yeah, I don't think we'd be out of line.
How much old fire hose do you have? Could you just string it out there and not have to use the water truck?
We could do that way, but we need to pull up and just fill that water truck real fast.
Then go down?
Yeah.
Okay.
I bet you could do it.
You can't run the sprinklers and accomplish it.
Not as deep.
Why can't you just run the sprinklers in the night?
Let them.
Water.
Hasn't that been taken care of for years? Running the sprinklers?
Well,
from the cemetery?
Trouble is, we're down one day a week where before we've been.
Oh, okay.
So that's our issue. So that's the.
Let me look at the tanks and maybe I can bump our sprinklers another day.
I would think if we got, either extended our times and went to 2 days or something. I mean, you will start using a water truck and just going around, you're gonna tie up two guys for a couple of days.
Long time.
I would think. and when we can go adjust the timers and water, the stop. It's a done deal, already in place.
Does the sprinklers go with the trees or do they go opposite of the trees though? I mean, like, is our zones north and south and not east and west with the trees?
Yeah, they go north and south.
So you have to run all the zones to be able to water.
It's cooler now.
Yeah.
We're using less water now.
I don't know what to do about State Street. The trees.
Just don't let the trees die. Well, and then anymore. The truth is, but this damage was done last summer. Last summer was terrible. I mean,
it's a
and it's hard to reverse the damage that was done a year ago, but we can make an effort.
Yeah.
We'll get the trees watered up.
For sure, the cemetery this week.
I'm glad we got people watching us.
Blessing both ways.
Yes, it is.
Yep. So this is the cemetery. We're going to try to, what about the trees on State Street this time? What are you going to do there? All the trees that we own ought to be under our care and looked after.
Yeah. You got the park.
I can tell you that's going to extend out. When you start watering State Street and stuff, now all these side streets, it's all city property. They'll want
to... No, we don't water those. That's up to the people that have the trees in front of them.
We went over that on the tree trimming deal, didn't we?
Yeah. Yes, we did.
Yeah.
That's what even scares me on State Street, because I know there's a lot dying and they're struggling.
Yes, they are.
And we still don't know for sure who owns that strip.
I've seen the state out there trimming them before. I've seen them out there with saws and all their orange gear trimming the trees on State Street.
What's that?
Because I always thought the state owned the strip.
Between the sidewalk and the curb?
We're just like that road thing we're doing. We own that, but it's up to the homeowner to keep that up. That mow strip, we don't own.
Yeah.
That raises the question I have. Like along where El Mexico used to be, that curb, that they got weeds and stuff going put out to the road.
It ended up so bad.
All the way around, well, if you go around behind there, which is in the city right away, that's the same. Are they responsible to keep their bushes from overgrowing the sidewalk? And
yeah, I need to go talk to her too.
The gutter's clear full of dirt.
Where's this at?
The motel.
Across the street from Terry Brotherson's on the opposite side of his road. That water, there's no way it would ever make it to the intersection.
Can't make it to that sump that's there too. We need to clean that gutter so that water running that. Because he's talked to me about that. He's had trouble. That's what takes that road out too. So.
Well, there's just a handful of areas in town where we have curb and gutter, like the industrial park. There's a lot of stuff in those gutters out there. I don't know. Maybe that's something that I don't. Do they still do community service around here?
Who's they?
Well, the
soap criminals.
Yes, there's still the community service.
So I know they're trying to do 9/11.
Yeah.
Service day.
In fact, we talked about that last week.
It's 9/11 from 9 to 11, and they want to clean all the highways. It's really where they're focusing. But maybe we ought to look at doing something like what we're talking there along the motel and some of our highways. Maybe do a little bit extra and get some manpower arranged. Because they're asking the cities to have all the citizens come to the city hall here to meet.
We can put a Just Serve up on the Just Serve platform. That's what they want to use. And have different projects people can go serve on 9/11.
They'd like to do that highway cleanup through the whole state. That's my understanding from 9 to 11. But maybe we focus a little bit more on some of these.
We could get a backhoe and clean some of the gutters and
stuff that way.
That's just a couple that I've noticed recently.
That will be before our next city council meeting too.
Yeah, it will. Mm-hmm. So we better plan it tonight, huh?
Yeah.
And the industrial park is really, that's, I don't know that anywhere else there's curb and gutter except for the main, well, maybe a little bit around.
A little bit around right here, a little bit around Waffen.
And then the main street.
Pretty clean.
Could we identify those areas and then post them? in the newspaper or on the website that this is going to be our 9/11 service project? You mean, could people show up with their own loader and go along and clean the gutters?
Absolutely.
Or if we had even, if we could get out there quick enough for like weed eaters and even start from basically terrils and come in and do our streets in our city limits.
Well, maybe that area out there around that, I guess it's a motel, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that area could be a one where we did cut the grass and clean the garden.
Get the shrubs back off.
That is an eyesore.
Get them back off the sidewalk and clean it all up and let us target that.
That'd be a pretty big project, but
it would.
20 people, it'd go pretty good.
Because even you come back, whereas I'm thinking where the nursery used to be, there's a block there that's got a lot of tall weeds that's out there on that same deal between the curb.
Yeah. But it's not got curb and gutter along.
It's got the curb and gutter because it's on the state road.
There's no sidewalk.
But there's no sidewalk there. So maybe, again, we could clean the weeds up in that area along the highway and kind of do some areas that way.
Oh, I don't know. That's a good chunk right there to do. I don't know. Well, if we did something industrial park, but that would be a good place to concentrate some efforts there. And then maybe the industrial park, we could do that with our guys.
Right.
People would notice that strip if we got it cleaned up.
I think we ought to really focus on that for our priority.
You want me to put it on the Just Serve?
Yeah. Because what they're doing is because I did have one stick present for me from to warn me that they were going to do this. President Ricks is over it on our area, and he's got it out there, but they're asking the city to come here and meet at 9 o'clock.
Maybe somebody's already put it up.
I think President Ricks has put it on, but I'm not sure. But
maybe he's got
anyway, they're asking for people to come to City Hall, and that's where they'll just go out from
projects
to go to clean the roads. And I think that we can call that as cleaning our roads and do a little extra special effort to clean those areas up.
Do that, and then back around across from Terry's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that would be a good
like project. It says, come in, and then there's even that house out there by the nail salon or something, where we got that section there that nobody lives in that house.
Yeah.
Have a couple people go in there and weed eat that down and clean that up a little bit too.
Well, that's sort of during the parade. So we'd have a place to sit. And then we got it all done. And
you lost
it. We're looking at the house next door on the corner there, and they happen to come home, and they're living in it. It was all mowed. And so they come home about the time we finished up. We walked over and says, would it be all right if we set our chairs up here? Oh, yeah, we're not even going to be here. So anyway.
So maybe we ought to see if we can get, because I'm hoping to run it in our newsletter.
Yeah.
Maybe we could ask people to come, a few more people to bring some weed eaters and stuff that we'd like.
I've got one of those little hedge trimmers that might make, I don't know if it'd cut through those, I'm just trying to find their meter. Those things are wicked. Yeah, I don't know the best way to get rid of those.
Maybe just
pruners
or something.
Yeah.
Use them as pruners and just
get in there.
Probably
the
best.
Start dropping away.
So maybe even if
shovels and
maybe if we can plan on need
loaders,
having a loader or somebody there with a loader.
And then somewhere to dump, I guess, you have a place to dump.
Down there by the sewer pumps.
Throw them in the back of a dump truck.
Yeah. The dump trailers?
I don't know how much it'll accumulate. Probably quite a bit.
There's a lot out there. I've seen that this morning driving to work. It's like, wish we could clean this up. So that'd be a good time.
I'll check and see if that's on there. Maybe President Ricks has already put it on the Just Serve. That's...
Well, it would be nice if it went out to the stakes and a bulletin board.
Well, they're
like our stakes, send it out in the wards.
They're supposed to be getting one to the wards this week.
It's all organized by the coordinated council. And
yeah.
So that was my responsibility on the high council, is to get a project. So it sounds like we just got one.
You got one.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We should have saved our hot dogs and hamburgers for that occasion.
We should have.
Hopefully.
Fire department, you have anything else, Shane?
I'll just be real quick. Colter and I have been talking about it, but we want to do something up to clean up Power Plant Park too.
I know there's going to be some upset people with this, but we want to take out some trees, clear to the, to kind of wean those out, because what's going on is they're suffocating themselves up there. I don't know if you guys have been up there lately, and those pine trees, there's quite a few dead in there too. So we want to just make a day out of it, maybe have you guys come up, have a barbecue while we're out there, trying to clean that up and get some of those dead trees out of there, and hopefully we can get some grass back and that. But
would it be too much to try and do this on the same day?
We could try and see if we try, but it, I think it's going to be this going to be a great project out there.
It's going to, yeah.
I guess that was one thing I was a little bit worried about is being too ambitious and then having nobody show up.
Yeah, we're going to be taking out trees and stuff like that. So
are these big pine trees you're talking about?
Yes, they are big ones.
So we have to cut them down and take the stump out too?
That's what I would like to do, yeah.
And then just give the wood.
You're talking like every other one?
Yeah.
The picture right there, yeah. Just take them out every other picture, yeah. Or every other tree there.
Yeah.
The Miss Mount Pleasant picture there.
Yeah, every other tree, yeah.
See, that's a big project. That's an all day.
Oh, yeah.
That's more than all day.
That's probably. Like 2 day.
Oh, we're going to do it on a work day?
Plus, we'd like to include cleaning up the camping spots and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's
a lot of firewood.
But yeah, it's the tree guy did. Wasn't there a tree guy that actually came down and you actually talked to him about it? But he said that's what's going on is they're suffocating themselves,
they're killing each other.
Yeah.
What? Fighting for water and everything else, and shading each other, huh?
Well, nothing grows underneath them.
No.
Yeah.
No, God, remember when I was a kid, we'd come over the mountain, my parents would go to the temple, and they drop us off up there. And we spent the whole day up there. It was nice.
Yeah.
It was real nice. And
we used to be a lot more, seemed like a lot more green grass and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we want to do, is open up. Get a lot of those sucker trees that popped up all over, get them back out, get the grass back, and make it like a
little. Should have gone after a lot of water conservation fund grant to do all that. Upgrade all that park. Maybe next year. Then we can get it cleaned up, and then maybe next year we get a grant to do some.
Let's look into doing it.
Yeah.
See if we can give a Saturday, or is that when you want, like a Saturday, or?
No, I think we just got to do it during the week sometime.
Just a work time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where we can just all go up there and just see how much we get done in a day.
Could you let me operate some equipment?
Yeah. Where am I at?
No, I've been on some heavy
equipment. You can run a chainsaw and a shovel.
No.
You can be in the bucket and I'll operate the
equipment. I'll cough it up.
You just want to go plant another probably 20. If you were like cut every other tree, you come back the next day, somebody else would be up there in firewood with my wife too.
I'd run chainsaws. That's not all big enough for them trees, though.
We want to do, we just got to find a time to do it. Another thing we're
trying to keep me posted, buddy.
I'd
be glad to go up there and put it in.
I'll give it a call, Jerry, and we'll see what.
Or an evening. Let us know, because I'd be going up. I could go up an evening.
Fridays. I think Fridays and Mondays are what? It's beautiful up there.
Yeah.
You know, I would like to clean it up. And those people that come and stay in those spots, you know, they pay.
Was it $15 a night? No,
$20 a night in those spots. And so you want to.
They're full.
Yeah.
Let's build more, and then we can pay our lifeguards if it starts a little bit more. Yeah. Make some revenue just to have a regular lodging business.
Apparently, there was a plan back in the day. They extend that, those lots, you know, and all that. But
to the east? You know, those little cabinets are getting pretty popular. The ones that they built going up Fairview Canyon, seeing those pop up all over.
Yeah, so.
Pretty high demand for stuff like that right now.
Yeah. We've got a lot of services we're working on. Not so many in the city, but a lot out in the city. Out Skyline or Swamp. I bet there's close to 12 connects we're working with right now, up Skyline. So we got that going on. Mayor and I, we had a good, he did a good job up to Tahoe speaking. They really appreciated it, got a lot of good reviews on it.
Shane done a good job too.
What was your topic?
The strategic plan, that we did. So we was just covering that. So I covered the plan and then Mayor came in and covered his, what he seen outside. We got the two guys are working out great. So good to have some good help. I think that's pretty much it, just a lot going on. Those guys, we've kind of been able to split up a little bit. We kind of scheduled one big project from one day out of the week where all of us are there working on that project. And then the rest of the week, we kind of split off doing the other things. So we had some guys down at the substation today, some guys out to the Contour substation, and some guys doing the services. And so it's been nice, been real nice. We've been actually getting caught up a little bit. It has slowed down a little bit, so it's helped. But the biggest thing for us is, my worry is keeping stock, you know.
And so, yeah, there's a big production gap.
Yeah, because it's just, it's going to come back.
Hopefully things will
stabilize. Stabilize and points go down. And costly. I think we've been having this increase our costs on our estimates. We usually do it for 45 days. We do it for 7 days now. That estimate's only good for 7 days. After that, we have to redo it because that's two-inch conduit right now.
7 days?
Yes.
Wow.
Two-inch conduit right now has jumped up to $3 a foot. Well, it used to be just like a year ago this time was 84 cents a foot.
Yeah, is that the schedule, lady?
Yeah. So yeah, so things have kind of got back, but hopefully be back to place. But it's been kind of nice because we have other utilities. If we do get in a bind, we can kind of fall on them. Bigger utilities like Global and Spanish Fork that have the same kind of specs that we have when it comes to equipment and that. So yeah,
they'll let you borrow if you need to.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Shane. All right, Sam's not here to report on the fire department, so...
Get out of here by 9 o'clock.
Council reports, Justin.
Depends on how long your report is.
Well, let's see. I have to share an observation first that I've come to realize is that the mayor's phone number is also the last 4 digits of my social security number.
You're not supposed to keep that out.
I don't know if there's any significance there, but I thought it was interesting.
It's easy to remember.
But I can't ever remember the 469-851. I don't.
It's 851.
Okay. But the 4084 is easy.
You know, modern cell phones we use, you can save those numbers.
That's all I got. No.
You're
serious. They don't know the rest of it. The rest of this. No, I don't really have much. I was just talking to Claudia. She's actually on the selection committee with these grants that we put in for the park, and she said that they approved the grant to move it to the NPS, which is National Park Service. So at this point, it's just a formality. They'll end up approving it, and we'll just have to figure out how we want to match that up. But one thing I noticed, and I didn't include it in the estimate, but that dumpster out there at the park, it's that big blue dumpster that's on the corner of the park. It should be nice to put that in an enclosure or something to get it. It's always just there, and sometimes it gets clear full of garbage. And maybe we'll have some additional funds or something that we could put that dumpster in an enclosure. I think that would
probably save it from getting used and abused like it is right now, too.
It probably wouldn't cost a whole lot to have somebody build just a masonry
lock enclosure that looked nice or something, maybe match our restrooms or something. And then it sounds like tomorrow you guys are going to be meeting with water quality. Well, maybe he's going to report on that. I don't want to steal your thunder on that, but
in the morning, 8:30.
Are you going up, or are you just going to do?
We're going to Zoom it
online. Okay. I typically just join in those on my for my work and just to see what's going on with the funding world. So I don't know if I'll be up there. I may just join by Zoom. I think Mount Pleasant was the only project on the agenda. If I could.
It seems like that was the only thing.
So. I think that's all.
We're trying to get a grant to do the head end on the sewer plant.
The what?
A grant to do the head end on the sewer plant.
Is it dilapidated?
We don't even have one, so it'd be pulling all the crap out, the basic baby wipes and all that stuff, so it's not going in the sewer pond, so we're able to pull it out so we don't ruin our ponds.
A new screening structure.
Ooh.
But this is for a capital facilities plan, right? That's required.
Which requires to do it. But that's where we're headed towards.
Maybe you guys wanted to talk about that, but I think that's a good, I think it's good to have that capital facilities plan done anyway, and obviously that project is going to be identified in that, but in the event that we want to look at impact fees for our sewer, that would give us a kind of a base level of service there too, so
yep.
I think it's a good step. I think with the growth we're seeing, a lot of people think that planning is sometimes a waste of time and money, but it sure helps to navigate the way forward when you're trying to make decisions rather than just shooting in the dark. So.
Yep.
Anyway. But I'll be listening in on that to see where that goes. Hopefully they'll give you a grant. Maybe it'll be a planning advance, but even then it's still better than having to do that now. Then you can roll that into the project.
Roger.
And then just that just serve thing, I was going to bring that up, which covered that pretty well. I think that would be a good project.
That's funny how that hit me tonight, or that we talk about that, because it's like, I'd sooner see us do something in our city than out in the highways, you know?
I got to mention this, or my wife's going to shoot me. So, and I don't know if we can do anything about it. Do you want me to read you the whole text? This says, "Hi neighbor, I was curious if you or your husband had any insight or advice on how to handle the situation. I'm not going to name any names in this. We are having with our neighbors, and they're named, but they have an aggressive pit bull they fail to keep contained. We've had multiple incidents where the dog had attacked my cat, my friend's dog, and most recently myself with my puppy and son. All events have occurred on my property. Each time I have texted them about the event to keep a record, and I have done on video from home security footage. After the latest incident, I warned them the dog must be leashed or contained in the fence. He promised to keep it contained. He failed to do this, so I was forced to file a police report. Instead of receiving an apology, I started receiving texts with insults and threats and false allegations from their 19-year-old daughter. I told them we can no longer communicate unless it's through lawyers. The officer told me that the dog is allowed to roam freely in their yard. The problem is the dog does not stay in the yard and it keeps attacking us. I spoke with other neighbors and they too have had incidents where the dog was a threat on their property and told me of others. I regret not reporting them for the first incident, but I really have tried my hardest to be a good neighbor, but I'm now terrified and my kids are terrified to play in their own yard. So I don't know if there's anything we can do if that's just a civil matter, but I think, you know, if the dog's on their yard, if the dog's out of their yard and on the other person's yard, what recourse do they have, I guess, is my only question.
Well, you can't shoot firearms in town.
It's a good thing Rhett's no longer here.
So I just had to, I was Bischoff Chican.
It's actually Kelly Cruz that is the person that's filed the complaint. She was going to be here tonight. I'm not sure why she didn't show up, but she texted her and my wife are friends, and apparently there's an issue there with that dog, and I don't blame her. I wouldn't want a pit bull to have her in my kids either.
No, I wouldn't want it in my neighborhood.
Well, on the serious side, the police officer can.
Didn't they say they had filed a complaint?
Yeah.
Well, let it follow through.
That's what I'm saying. We ought to just let it go through the
process. Through the legal process, and then if he calls him and that dog's on his property and the dog comes aggressively at the police officer.
I guess that's my question. What is the process? Once you file a report,
the police should keep it going through courts to where it goes through the court system.
Won't they issue a citation?
Usually they do, yes.
For an aggressive dog.
What?
Yeah.
For an aggressive?
Yep.
Yeah, they issue a citation.
Do you have one?
Apparently there's some guy, a couple of years ago, he complained about my dog bit him. He stopped to look at the horses, and I don't think it ever happened, but... approached the guy and told him, hey, I want to see your bite, all this stuff, but he never did show me.
I would suggest that they keep calling and filing a report.
Yeah.
But they need to understand what a serious situation is.
But can't the cop do something if it's out of the yard?
He could tase him.
He would have to catch it outside the yard, then he could, yes. If they would call him when it was outside the yard, then he could impound.
Let's say if it was on his property, then he,
yes.
Police officer could do something.
So they'd have to come at that very moment when it was on their property.
Yes.
And if that actually bites one of them?
Huh?
If there's a bite involved, the dog has to be quarantined for 10 days as they report it. Which means the dog's up in our shelter for 10 days, quarantined.
So I don't know, I mean, I'm just reading what she said. It says she was attacked. I don't know what that means. These people they're not trouble causers, I don't think. They're pretty much stick to themselves, but...
Well, she's got pictures, too, of it being on their yard or...
That should be enough evidence, I would say, for the police to file a report.
They don't need to, I don't think the police officer need to stand out there when it comes on their property.
As long as they can show the pictures,
yeah.
Yep.
I mean, how much more proof do you need than that?
Yeah.
Well, and it's illegal to send threatening texts. That's actually assault.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they need to notify the police of these threats through text messaging, because that is against the law. You can't just threaten people on text messages.
Sounds to me like they need to probably keep the dialogue going with the officers.
Yes.
Yes. Come in and talk to Carrie.
Okay.
Between 9 and 2.
I wish she would have been here tonight. She said she was going to, but maybe she don't want to.
Yeah, I'm probably gone with it.
So, yeah, I almost forgot about that, and I would have had to come back and get you guys all back together and tell me after this meeting.
You were drunk.
We were trying to call a special emergency meeting.
You wouldn't be able to call that.
Yeah, you were right, Kevin, and depending on how much you had to say.
I only took 10 minutes.
I keep looking at my claw.
Now it's up to you guys to get us out of here before 9. I did my part.
What do you have, Kevin?
We had a real nice picnic hosted by Brittany and Jeannie and a lot of the folks in City Hall, and the mayor and his wife were there Saturday. We had invitations, and I thought it was pretty darn nice that our administration thought of us to do something like that, and an opportunity to bring the kids, and then for me, I could even bought the grandkids, and I thought about that, and I didn't because I didn't want to bother. But anyway, I appreciate it. I want to thank Jeannie and I forget your name. Name, Miss Olson. Well, I could call you Sister Olson.
You can call her Mrs. Mayor.
But anyway, it was nice, and I felt bad that we didn't have more from the Public Works and the other electricians and...
Shane would have been there.
She was out repairing.
I understand, but it was nice, and I appreciated them doing it. Thank you.
I have to give most of the credit to the mayor and his wife. It was the mayor's idea, and his wife and him put in a lot of work for that.
Yeah.
Did the invite in RSVP.
It's, you know, it's not just the time there, but it takes a lot of time to go get all the stuff and load up the grill. I mean, yes.
Lettuce and tomatoes.
Was there a lot of people?
I'd like to have seen a few of our comrades there.
I never got invited, but I was out of town.
You got an invite?
I think the invitation was...
In the city council meeting, we gave it to you a month ago.
I was out of town.
Little paper.
I was in South Dakota, so...
You're excused.
No, last Saturday, I guess, was. Anyway, I'm not gonna keep you a lot longer, but, another thing, and I didn't write it down, but, so John Schuman is in the process of leaving. His wife recently passed away, and, he's gonna go down and live with his daughter. I believe it's in Hurricane. But, had a good visit with him. He's really kinda sad about it, but...
I'm sure.
I asked him, I says, "Well, so who's gonna be taking care of the senior center?" And, you know, cause he's been over that for years.
Right.
And is something been done, or...
I know of.
I think Dan, Anderson is the vice president or whatever of their little organization. So maybe...
We'll have to see if we can get John to come for volunteer or assistant of the month. Cause we didn't get one.
When's he leaving, you know?
He might be already gone. We could find out. That, you know, he's done a lot for the community. He really has.
He has.
I think of all the sports things that he's been over.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, gosh, Don, I wish, I'm glad you thought of that. I just hope he hasn't left, but...
Cause we didn't have one for tonight. We was hoping to have one, and we didn't come up with one, so...
We could do two next month. Contact him and see.
Yeah, and then if he's around for next month, we'll do it next...
So the first, second week in September?
Yep.
I'm just curious if I got his contact here. Let me just look real quick. John J. O. H. I do have it. I will call him and see if he's gonna be around. If he's not, we could still do it and maybe send him a picture.
Yeah.
In the paper and...
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I just think...
He's done a lot.
Yeah, I like your suggestion. He was pretty emotional about it, and then I kinda got emotional because he's served us for a lot of years just in the office supply place.
Right. But
anyway, the other thing that I had was, I've been doing a little work down at Convoy, and maybe this is a public works question, and Colter left, but Lynn might know. Do we not take any responsibility for the trees and the yard there as far as weed control or anything?
No, we don't. We haven't touched it, so...
I'm wondering if that's just because, or if we could maybe add that to our...
I know I was down there a year ago, and the 4-H was doing that as a service project to use the arena.
We used to have somebody that would come in and do it for him. I don't know if they're not around anymore, but I remember paying somebody that would come in and do it for him each year. But I can't remember.
Well, they do the housekeeping inside.
I remember doing the weed removal of the landscape.
Cause it's not getting any attention.
It looked like they had been watering the trees kind of manually, but I think that ought to be talked about and looked at, because it's a nice facility and it just kind of looks shabby out front there. Everything else is groomed to a T, but
be nice to do asphalt parts.
I you know, we have our seasonal help, and it's only during the summer months that we would have to worry about it. But I would think that it could be included in our spraying and our keeping things up and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to even make sure you run that grader up and down that road once in a while, because it gets so bad, you know, when it rains and stuff, and it gets some washed debris.
Yeah.
I mean, God, I mean, why not?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we can try and contribute a little bit to that effort. It's you know, it's really catching on, especially where during this COVID thing, it's just been crazy busy, and I just would hope we could maybe support them a little bit. Would anybody have any heartburn over us doing a little bit down there? Other than, I know we're short-handed, but
yeah, we could do more from that mower down there and stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
are you talking? Convoy?
Oh, yeah. Before you go through the doors. I walked out there and it does look, but I thought that was probably Port Jack, but I.
Well, I. It probably could have been considered.
I'll bring it up to Colter tomorrow, because we're going to be in that meeting at 8:30.
Oh, are we meeting tomorrow? Is there a meeting tomorrow on the.
But I've been caring for.
Yeah, for the park.
What time is that?
It's 6:30.
6:30?
Yeah.
Is it here?
Yes. If we have anybody show up or not, we'll see.
What is it?
To kind of go over the plan for the park.
Master plan for the park, 10-year master plan.
Well, we put in for that grant. We talked about having that public hearing to see what people would really like to see us do with the parks as we start going forward.
I should have had that written down. I think I made that good.
For sure.
You're right.
Just a public meeting.
Because I have a dog franchise to be a public hearing.
No, it's not a public hearing. It's just a public meeting.
Public input on parks at 6 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay, so 6 o'clock. I had the time wrong.
Holy cow.
Town hall meeting.
Is it advertised?
We had it out in my newsletter, so we'll see.
Well, it's not an official public meeting.
No.
What?
That was something that we talked about with that grant lady, but we ought to be figuring out what we want to try and do.
Yeah, I think that's a good time to bring that up tomorrow.
Gosh, damn.
That's part of the reason we talked about doing that.
We just can't get a night off, can we?
No, you can't.
I have it on my calendar, but I
actually forgot all about it until Claudia mentioned it. Aren't you guys meeting tomorrow, she says, and I'm like,
yeah.
that was a good response.
Anyway, that's all I have.
Okay.
Oh, Brittany went over everything we talked about, stuff with the pool, and everything's going good with the rec, so.
Okay. Rondi?
I reached out to Don with Lit Tech. Just to follow up with him on our road project. I just wanted to know if there's anything he needed from us. He's got everything he needs from us. So he's working on the paperwork and the wheels are in motion. So he said he would contact me when he needs something from us, and I haven't heard from him. So
that does bring up one other thing too. We ought to get those other water services in those vacant lots before we asphalt it there.
We stubbed in.
Yes.
And I'm not sure what his time frame is looking like, because it's kind of the balls in that court right now. So I'll try to reach out with him again.
Is Paul going up?
What's that?
Is Paul going to do those services? Or?
Yeah, I think he's got three of them done.
If you remember in the last meeting, it was discussed that those that are refusing to sign that, those trying to hold up, are going to receive a letter saying we're going to sell it to your property, it has to be your responsibility.
Yeah, that's right.
That line will be abandoned.
And those lines are already there, those three owners, but it's the vacant lots that we couldn't do with the grant.
But I think Paul was saying he was gonna coordinate with some, to just.
I think he was gonna do it.
Yeah, he's done three of them, so.
Three out of, was there six?
Eight.
Eight?
There's one that I don't think's big enough to build on, so I don't think we should do that one.
Yeah, I don't.
That one's very questionable, I don't think it's.
That one corner one.
Yeah, in the middle road.
32 or 33, yeah.
Was he planning on doing that one, do you know?
I'm not sure, I don't know which.
We'll have to reach out to Paul and ask him.
Yeah.
But yeah, we brought that up last time and mentioned there would be, need to be some coordination with when they're gonna do that.
Yeah, and I think the timeframe, I don't think we're gonna see him for at least a month.
So he'll probably have time to get those in.
They still have to do this, come up and do their soil tests. But we have time. They was doing roads up by Strawberry at the end of October last year at 8,000 feet, so I think we're gonna be safe.
Yeah, it'll be warm enough.
And it might be easier, well, it's gonna be easier to keep the roads wetted, you know, wet.
That time of year.
Cause it was a struggle last time with the wind and the heat, so. We might end up with a better product doing it later in the year, but. And then I don't know who cleaned up, somebody cleaned up the flood dam. I drove up there the other day and someone's been up in there and cleaned up all that garbage. I didn't know if that's something the city did or.
I don't know.
But it looks good. And I thought the power plant park looked good, I didn't see any garbage there. So it's clean up there. It's been a while since it's been like that, so. Just want to point that out.
Bear's gone.
Bear's gone?
I haven't seen him lately. Bear's gone.
That's all I got.
Okay.
I'll follow up with Don and we'll see where we're at for our next meeting.
Okay. Let's see, what else do I have? Update on the well. As of tomorrow, all the contracts will be signed or the option contracts to purchase it.
On the irrigation well?
On the irrigation well. It is 514 acre feet is what their three owners' portion is.
Wow.
That's a lot of water.
That's a shot in the arm.
That's a big shot in the arm.
So we are also buying a quarter, or we are also getting a quarter acre of ground around the wellhead with a right of way to the county road, both going south and east.
Cool.
It's the Alan Shelley, Mark Johansson well. Well, they're the big owners. So it's out on that south side of the runway, down probably three blocks, four blocks. So part of our agreement with signing that is that we gotta get going as far as a public hearing and everything else to get it out, make sure the public's all right with us buying it and moving forward with that purchase.
Well, we got that on the agenda, but we will put that on the agenda after tomorrow.
Yes, so we need to pick I'd like to pick a night when you want to do the public hearing to purchase that tonight if we could, so we could start advertising and everything else.
This is its primary purpose is irrigation.
It can go either way, but right now we can use it as irrigation.
Uh-huh.
Our hope is talking a little bit to Bryce about it, we'll either tie it into our new irrigation system, or the other focus would be is that we'd pump it back up, we'd pull our parks, recs, soccer field, all that off our culinary water, and irrigate it off that well.
Wow, that's awesome.
So we could keep them green, even if we're on water restrictions, because it'd be on its own source and not affecting anybody else.
That is awesome.
So.
Well, that's gonna free up, if we do that transition, that's gonna free up quite a bit of culinary water, you know, it'd be basically exchanged, because those are all culinary.
Right. I know talking to Jimmy Swenson a couple weeks ago, and I couldn't say nothing. He was saying, I don't know why they're not running that well, because they can run 32 sprinkler heads continually. So I based that off of that, at least to say.
The well we're purchasing.
Oh, so we have power already?
It's Rocky Mountain Power. So that's why we're buying that little piece of ground, and we may have to annex a little strip in to get Mount Pleasant power there. Part of the trouble is that Rocky Mountain burned up the controllers or the pump. I'm not sure which.
Must be only single phase then.
No, it's a three phase.
They have three phase there?
Yes. Yeah.
They have a phase converter, or is it just single?
No, it's all three phases are there. So that's part of the reason why we're buying just a little piece, and then if we need to build a pump house there or whatever, we can do it. And even if we have to annex in a little bit down through there to tie it into city limits somehow, we can.
So I'm a little confused. Do they say that we can use that for culinary well?
The states are, according to Bryce, he said we could transfer it over, but the well itself could not be used for culinary.
So it's not built to drinking water.
Right. It's not drilled to drinking water standards.
Use the water, right?
We could use the water right anywhere and move it if we had to, but
that's what the biggest value is, I think, is the water, right?
Well, I think with the well already drilled there, and we can use the water and pump it back up to where we could use it.
We can just tie it into the system and put like a VFD or something on it, and then.
So there's a couple of different options we could do. We'd have to get with Twin Creek, because we may be able to do a total exchange of water, or we could pump it, put it right into their system, and take the water out up above, and then put it in a pond up there to use for the, and switch the parks and recs over. The only trouble would come is this time of year, they're not flowing as much as the well would be able to pump.
Yeah, so.
So the biggest thing was is getting it into contract so that we could start doing something with it. So.
We start after you get it signed and sealed, then we can start deciding what the best way to utilize
this. Right, and then we can go after grants to purchase this with. They are willing to finance it for a while, 4% interest.
We can probably do better than that.
We can do better, but at least we got a lot of different options there available for it. So the biggest thing was getting it under contract so we could start going after stuff. So
it gives us some options.
Yes.
Buys us some time to figure out.
Yes.
We've got it sewed up.
Yep, we got it sewed up, that 514 acre feet. So $5,000 an acre foot, and then I agreed to pay the closing cost, and it'll be right around $12,000. So we're looking at about 2.6.
Is that water right? Is it just an irrigation right?
It is an irrigation
right. Time of use is 6 months.
It is an irrigation use.
But that's when we need it.
Yes.
We don't need it in the winter.
No. So again, if we can pull it off, if we can pull the parks in that area off to make the total difference of our culinary water.
For sure.
Because I don't know how many millions or whatever we're using there.
Well,
and then we can keep it green and we can adjust it accordingly. So
you might be able to pull that whole south end off the high school. And
we'll have to do some studies to see what we can actually pull off.
Okay, we're really running to your guys' meeting tomorrow. Is that tomorrow?
It doesn't have to be notarized, so they're just signing it, send it back. Chet signed his, but he's meeting with his sisters tomorrow to sign their portion of it to get it back to me. So he gave me a verbal agreement tonight to say yes, it's for sure go, and they told me they'd have it signed tomorrow and back to me.
Good news.
So that's a really good news.
So that, I guess that raises a question. Do we decide what we're doing with that, the ARPA funds that we have?
I'm hoping we can use this as the down payment, because part of that is after the public hearing, they would like 10% down. So they're not making us put any earnest money up while we go through our public hearings and doing everything to make sure that we can, which again, it's don't buy us time, because once it's under contract, then we can start going after our grants, go after other things to be able to have money for this.
And there is no reason why we can't keep it on Rocky Mountain Power and
utilize it till we get all of this. I mean, if we're...
Worst case scenario, yes.
Yeah, we can utilize it right where it's at.
Yes.
Eventually, we'd want it on our system.
Right.
From what I understand, we're paying a little bit more.
Yeah.
From what I understand, the ARPA, there's quite a bit of latitude that...
So Bryce has already got the paperwork in the process because he knows this is going on. We're going after the matching grant, and he's already going after Division of Water Resources. I don't know what he's all going after, but he's been, I've had him involved the last 2 weeks with negotiations and different things on it. So they're already on the paperwork. Dave might know more because I know they've been calling to get information from him on that. They're going after things. So right now, I'll let him know that for sure it's under contract so they can go more, so.
That's good news.
So now we just got to come up with the money.
Yeah.
But even right off the bat, the big plus with this well is again, we can switch Twin Creek water and put it in our irrigation pond or somehow be able to use it. Rather than just buying a well right that we can't use or we can't do anything with, we can use this for next summer.
Yeah.
There's something we can do there to trade and to exchange and do stuff with the irrigation.
That'll help the irrigator, the people that are on Twin Creek. But it won't help the culinary situation in that scenario. I mean, it would if we could figure out a way to use that to water those big users and free up that culinary water. I think that would be, in my opinion, kind of a priority or an objective what we want to try to accomplish because of the situation we're at with our building right now. So
the nice thing too with purchasing this when we are like we are is, again, Bryce says this is perfect timing because now he can put it as part of our irrigation project too and be able to throw that in as part of that funding to help tie this in or to pump it up to however we figure out is the best feasible way to use that water.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like they should be able to come back with some recommendations concerning that.
Yes.
I mean, if they're working on it, they can see the resource and what it's capable of. I'm sure that they can figure out the best way to implement it.
Yeah, he's been working really close with me on
it. Hey, be safe.
I'm late. Yeah. Okay. So we need to probably set, I don't know, 3 weeks, a month out, some type of public hearing to, because we got to advertise it for the 14 days.
So we got a meeting here tomorrow night at 6?
Yes, for the park.
Okay, I guess I can't go visiting yet. My counselors think I'd get off anyway.
Second or fourth
meeting
be the 28th of September.
Just tell them to go, I guess.
That's a month and month and a week away.
Do we just do it a 6 o'clock meeting then? Do it on the 28th and at 6?
That work, Jeannie?
That's what I would say.
September 28th.
Be a month from
September. September 28th at 6 o'clock.
Not a month from this one, right?
Yeah, I have a speech line. You have time to get it up or text.
So we're not the CDRA meeting.
It won't be.
Well, that's of course
that's the second.
Yeah.
Second. So
public hearing.
That way we can get down our newsletter and we can also get that on all the other websites. So
kind of remember the output of that well. Was it 600 gallon a minute or what they tell you that? I mean, I know what water right is, but how much will...
So I was going off what Jimmy Sorensen was saying, that normally they run to 32 sprinklers. So I was thinking, again, 32 at 8 gallons a minute, so they're doing at least 250 gallons at least a minute.
I was thinking when I was reading about it, it was a little more than that. But
well, I'm just...
Maybe it's 400.
Yeah, it could be.
I was thinking it was 700.
I think that's the whole well, but again, well, we're not purchasing all...
So they're still going to have people have water right in it. Are they going to use it?
According to Mark and Chet, they've been in it, but they really have been very silent, and they don't do nothing with it and expect Mark and Chet to do it all. So who knows? They may be wanting to sell their rights to us, too, pretty quick.
That'd be all right.
So, okay. That's all I have.
Okay.
I got one other question I forgot about. When does our raise come through?
It did.
It did. Just got it.
This is 2 weeks ago.
You'll be surprised when you open that up.
I already did.
You didn't get it then.
Well, everybody got it but me.
Isn't that the old check? Because check's tomorrow.
The check's come out tomorrow.
Check's come out tomorrow.
Oh, I might just get direct deposit in, so I just got it yesterday.
Oh, you got the most.
Betty's already been here.
That's no check.
I know.
No, this one would be Judy.
Hey,
thought you had to pull up the paper to see that it was immediately instead of 30 days.
I'm sorry, boy. I thought it was 30 days on that.
No, it was retroactive.
I've been waiting for it for the last two checks. I thought, well, maybe we did pass it. The way my mind is anymore.
You guys are going to starve me clear to death.
Okay, now I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
Who's going to second it?
I will.
All in favor?
All right.
We're gone. Oh, I did miss one thing I got to bring up real quick. I had a lady that wanted to purchase a little piece of property up by the power plant. Whoops. I don't think we should do it, so I really not...
Power plant park?
Her power plant. So this is the...
Is that across the river?
It's across the creek.
North side?
This is where you go up to the surge pond.
Right where the
bridge is? Yeah, right where the bridge is.
Yeah.
So this is the bridge right here. They've got a little bridge across here. We own this chunk right here, and they'd like to buy it from us. I don't think we should, but this cut of map's probably better and easier.
Where do they live?
They don't live up there. They just want to buy this little chunk, so because they bought this piece here, so they want to be able to come clear down to the
creek. Where is that here? So where's the road?
This is the main road going up the power plant. So here's the power plant right here. This is the road that goes up to the surge pond. They're up to that, what do you call that? Peaking pond, sorry. So this is the chunk of ground right there.
Good place for a bunch of little cabinets right there.
There you go. So it's just above the flood dam then?
Yeah. I think we need to keep it because we don't know for sure what's going to go on with the reservoir.
Right. It might be good recreation property for us.
So I don't see a reason to do it.
Right.
I told her I'd at least mention it to you, so I mentioned it. When she calls back, I'll say we're not interested.
That's a name.
Sounds good.
I'll pretend I wasn't in that conversation.
Well, we got a meeting tomorrow night. We need something.